Thank you, Lord. You want to go on with us. We humiliate ourselves before you and give our whole heart to you. Lord, make it really light in each one of us, shine into us. Lord, we want to know you. In this word of Genesis 1, we pray, Lord, that you would open the scripture to us, that you would make our hearts burning, and show us, Lord, what you want to do with us today. Amen. Praise the Lord for this word. It's so good to see that this word in Genesis 1 does not speak only so much of creation, but speaks of us and has much to do with us. It was quite illustrative last night to see that this bad condition in the beginning was our condition. Deserted, void, empty, and full of death waters. And in the meeting last night when we read this, we did not think so much of us, did we? But now we do see this is our condition. The Lord does a work of recovery, of restoration. He does not leave this chaos, but He rebuilds everything. And He makes it so glorious in the beginning and the end. In Genesis 1, you see in the end, He creates man. He creates man and many living creatures, plants and animals. And He brings forth so much life on the earth. But still, in order to bring forth life, the first thing we see in Genesis 1, 3 to 5 is three sorts of divisions. First separation was dividing light from darkness. First thing God had to do in order to clear up this chaos, bring forth light. Light is a precondition for life. But this was not sufficient yet. There were three divisions, and that's quite amazing. I think if we would have done this work of restoration, I think we would have first thought, well, what would we like to bring forth? Well, God knew He first had to divide. Yeah, He knows He has to divide in us as well. It's like in our room, you would not clear up for many, many years, and then you would like to enter in and would like to do it. Build there something, but if there is a mess and you cannot even put your foot to the ground, you will first have to clear up everything to produce order, to bring forth something productively. In our hearts, before we were saved, we were like this messed up room, full chaotic. And the Lord first has to clear up in us. That's what He does through this division, separation. And this morning we would like to continue to see what is the second separation. It is the separation of the heavenly realm above and the earthly realm below. And we would like to have a little drawing here. For this day, the second day, there was not heaven and earth yet. But then God made this separation. Let me write down. This is heaven. And below, this is the earth. That was the second separation. He made a firmament in the middle to separate these realms, these two realms. What does this have to do with us? And again, the answer is it has a lot to do with us. Last night we saw when we had not been saved yet, we were very much below, down in the abyss. We were on the earth, deep down. In Ephesians 2, we read we had walked according to the age of this world. We had been as all those that live down here, people living without God in the world. We were down here. And what did God do with us when we were saved? We also read this in Ephesians 2, verse 6. It's a wonderful verse, saying, raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He brought us from here to here, first to heaven. He not only saved us, He not only forgave our sins, taken away the sins, but He shone into us, and He translated us from the earthly realm into the heavenly realm above. Praise the Lord. We are seated in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Through faith and baptism, we came into Christ, and are here, out here. And on the outline, we wrote down a few other verses in order to see what our heavenly stand is in Christ. If we speak only about division, separation the whole day, and we will speak about this the whole day today, it is maybe not that encouraging to only see that there are negative things that have to go away. You also have to see, why does the Lord make this division and separation? He wants to bring forth glory. And this separation of the second day is the Lord in our experience wants to bring us up. Maybe two brothers could read Mark and John, Marcus and John, could read this verse to us, Philippians 3, verse 20. Maybe simply give us a taste for the heavenly things. Philippians 3:20. Stand up and read it loudly to us. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our citizenship is in heaven. Philippians 3:20. From which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't this good? Our citizenship is in the heavens. Before, we had been citizens of the earth. We did not know God. We had been bound in sin and in this age. But the Lord gave us a new citizenship, a new passport. So to say, we are citizens of the heavens. We are in this realm now. Wonderful. Now we read Ephesians 1:3. Maybe Samuel and Matthias could read to us Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Amen. Who has blessed us, amen, with what? With every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. And this is even more, not only transferred into this heavenly realm, but the Father also chose us and blessed us. Not only a little bit, but with every spiritual blessing. This is glorious. Where is the spiritual blessing? It is in the heavens and Christ. Let me write down now, it says here, spiritual blessing. Meaning it has to do with the Spirit. Everything having to do with this heavenly realm has to do with the Spirit. It's not a material blessing, but it's a spiritual blessing. And the opposite of that is fleshly of spiritual. This is the earthly realm. So we need to know our spirit in order to experience these blessings. And let's also read another verse, Hebrews 3, verse 1. Rainer and Jonah, maybe. Hebrews 3, verse 1. Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus. Lord Jesus. partakers of the heavenly calling. Partakers of the heavenly calling. Praise the Lord. He has called us for something. And this calling is a calling to above. Literally in Greek. It is spiritual and heavenly. And this here belongs fleshly and earthly. Another verse is Philippians 3:14. Let's read together. Philippians 3:14. I press toward the goal for the prize of the outward call of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. For the price of the high calling. Some translations say a heavenly calling instead of upward call. Or a call of God to above. Literally, to above. The Lord not only transferred us to this place, but He called us also with a calling, pulling us above. We have to apprehend everything He has prepared for us. Another verse still, to this point, is Ephesians 4:22-24. Maybe two brothers more could read. Translator and Lucas, could you read this to us? Ephesians 4:22-24. That you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. There. Amen. So this is one more thing the Lord did. We also have put off the old man with former conduct. All we have to do here with the earthly things is the old man. I will write this down here. Old man. And here of the new man it says, has been created according to God. This is a new man. Praise the Lord, we really have to see that. The Lord did so much in His salvation work. He brought us to this heavenly realm and prepared every spiritual blessing for us. He really freed us from the old man. The old man really is a problem. Before the Yuko, I realized many times the old man really is a problem. Although we have put him off already, he still comes again and again and wants to be active. But the word says, we have crucified the old man. And with the old man, everything that goes together with the earthly things. We have put on the new man, you can say the heavenly man, created according to God. Praise the Lord. The Lord really prepared much for us, but now He needs human beings to apprehend what He has prepared. Then is the question, what is this separation important for? If you look at your experience, you know why it's important. Although we've been called here, have the standing in Christ, we still have to admit many times we're still in this realm below. That's why God, some translation says, God created a firmament, established a set division between heaven and earth. There is a distance. He created a distance between heaven and earth. And we have to ask, how large is this distance between heaven and earth in my life? How far is above from below in my life? What is our experience? We have to admit many times we are in this old realm, many times the old man, many things we heard yesterday, still are our experience. That's why the Lord has to make this division and separation of our lives. There must be a distance becoming larger and larger in our lives. Let's look at a parable, Luke 14. See a few examples of what it means. Luke 14 from verse 15. There is the parable of the Great Supper from verse 15. The Great Supper. Now, when one of those who sat at the table with him heard these things, and he said to him, "Blessed is he who shall eat bread in the kingdom of God." But then he said to him, the Lord answered them, "Well, a certain man gave a great supper and invited many. And he sent a servant at supper time to say to those who were invited, 'Come, for all things are now ready.'" And that is the Lord calling us many times. Many times the Lord calls us. Now everything is ready. If you look at the whole package, this heavenly package, you shall say everything is prepared, is ready for our experience. And the Lord is like this housekeeper, to call and say, "We are invited to apprehend this heavenly food, the supper." How does it go on in verse 18? Well, they all with one accord began to make excuses. Isn't this our reaction a lot? We make excuses. "Lord, I cannot do it now." What reason do they give that they wouldn't come? Well, he said, the first said, "I've bought a piece of ground. I must go and see it. I ask you to have me excused." And the second one said, "I've bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I'm going to test them. I ask you to have me excused." And still another said, "I've married a wife, and therefore I cannot come." So that goes on. So that servant came and reported the things to his master. Then the master became angry and said to the servant, "Go out quickly into the streets and bring the poor and the maimed and the lame and blind." And it says in the end, "I say to you that none of those men who were invited shall taste my supper." This shows quite well. To apprehend the heavenly things is things like this. It's not a sin to buy a piece of ground or buy a yoke of oxen. Nothing bad, evil in the sense, as other dark things we may have done before. But still, we see it's things distracting you to follow the call of the Lord. We have a heavenly calling, and the Lord wants us to use every day to apprehend the heavenly things. How many times in our lives it is like we say, "Oh Lord, excuse me, I cannot come." Maybe we didn't buy 5 yoke oxen, but maybe you say, "Oh, I bought a new smartphone. I first have to test it. I first will have to check whether it works, otherwise I send it back." And we have good reasons why what we do is so important, isn't it so? That's why I need this division, this separation. It's different than the first one between light and darkness. If the Lord gives light, you realize clearly what is dark. Sinful things you did before, and they are dark. I think in many things, many respects, we are quite clear. We put it off. But here he doesn't divide light and darkness. In the Elberfelder translation, it says it's a division between water and water. Whoops, how come? What is divided here is outwardly may look even similar, resemble, or equal each other. You don't see which water is good, which what water is bad, or from below. Yeah, what is from the heaven, what is from the earth. He's dividing here water from water. So the only difference is the water. One water is above, the other water is below. So many times, if the Lord divides heaven and earth in our lives, it is not easy to recognize. It is much finer. He shows us a division the Lord now makes is a progressing division, a finer separation. Each one of us, I think, especially those that have not grown up in the church life, that had been saved later in their lives. When you had been saved, there were a few things you quite clearly had put off. But the further you go, the more you go on with the Lord, you realize the Lord wants to go deeper. Many things in our life are not that dark in the first instance, but they are earthly. And as in this parable, there are reasons for you to say, I don't have time. Before the UCO and People's Conference, many realized we are so busy, so occupied. And my impression was it is increasing all the time. From our youth, we're so busy. Just take the children, so busy with so many things. And our experience is this occupation binds us to the earthly things. Many things we do are important, maybe. Maybe you say, I have to take care of my studies, to do this and that. As Lucas said, there are things you have to purchase, and then you sit in front of the internet PC and you're comparing test reports, comparison reports, and you maybe spend it on useful, quote, quote, useful things, but where is the time for the Lord? Many times the things of the world hold you away from God. That's what Timothy said, 2 Timothy 2 verse 4. Let's read this together, 2 Timothy 2 verse 4. 2 Timothy 2 verse 4. Yep. Amen, Lord. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. It's an entanglement of sin. There are other verses. But here it says entanglement in the affairs of the daily life, literally, of this life, daily life. It's the affairs of the daily, everyday life. It doesn't mean we shouldn't do anything anymore. We do have to do regularly certain things in this world. And we have to take care of them. Course. But here it says, don't be entangled with them in this affairs of this daily life, daily living. He wants to shine into our daily living. He wants to enlarge this distance, this difference between earth and heaven. We have to say, Lord, make this division in me. Lord, I do not agree to be still bound by the affairs of the daily living. I experience so many times in the morning, you make up your mind, this afternoon I will take some time with the Lord, and then so many things come. And you realize a time comes where you thought you would take, but then you say, oh, I still want to finish this and still want to finish that. And with the reason it's important, but then it's night and the time is gone. Have we experienced all this? This is what it means to be entangled in these things. Then you remain with the earthly things. It hinders you from apprehending the heavenly things. It's a matter of your heart. Focus your heart on Him. Set your heart on the heavenly things. If I do these things, I do it with you, Lord. I don't want it to entangle, ensnare me, bind me. As it was said before, is the vision, as we said here. The vision needs your decision. It needs your decision in you to say, Lord, divide in me. On the one hand, it's God who does it. God does it, and it's divided. But if you don't say it, Lord, do this, the vision in me, nothing will happen. Then you will keep, stay busy with so many earthly things. What we speak with each other, as Lucas said, we shall learn to speak heavenly with each other. Definitely say, clearly, distinctly say, Lord, I put off the old man if I talk with the saints here, with my former walk. I put on the new man. Isn't this good? If we put on the new man, deal with each other in the new man, and live together in this heavenly realm, apprehend the spiritual and heavenly. Amen, that's wonderful. Lord, say, I set my heart to the heavenly things. Let's read Colossians 3 together. Colossians 3. If you see this division, this separation, you will not only say, Lord, save me from the earthly, but you'll also say, Lord, I seek what is above. That's Colossians 3, 1 and 2. Let's read this together. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things on the earth. For you died, verse 3, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Amen. Praise the Lord. If then you were raised with Christ, amen. We have read in Ephesians, we have been raised with Christ. Then seek what is above. Before the Yuko, I exercise telling the Lord, Lord, I seek what is above. What do you think of when you wake up in the morning? Oh, I think I have to do this, I have to do that. Is that right, George? You think of so many things you will have to do. But let us exercise. Wake up in the morning and say, Lord, I seek what is above. Lord, this day today, thank you. You give me another day. I want to use it to live in this heavenly realm. That's why we could also make an arrow here. Thick, big arrow. Seek what is above. If I tell it to the Lord in the morning, it makes a big difference. Say simply to the Lord, I seek what is above, Lord. It changes the whole day. I noticed during the day when I did anything, all of a sudden the Lord speaks, now, leave this thing. Is it so important? And many times I realize it is not important. Amen. And then you can seek what is above. Set your mind on what is above. So many times we have earthly thoughts and think of different things, but we can say we set our minds on things above, on Christ above. Lord, if a thought comes, I take it captive, and I look to you above. And that's why verse 3 is so good. You have died. You die. You can tell it to the enemy. If you're down, you can say, Amen, I have died. I have died to all the earthly realm. Amen. And my life is hidden with Christ in God up here. Oh, praise the Lord. If we exercise this, we will step by step apprehend the heavenly things. Let us look at the last verse, Hebrews 11:16. We can also read together, all together. Hebrews 11, verse 16. Hebrews 11, 16. Now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them. Amen. Rejoice this verse a lot in the preparation time. They were seeking a better place, desire a better place. Isn't this much better? Isn't this much more glorious? And here in Hebrews, a group of people is described the same as we have to be today. The Lord will soon come back, it was said yesterday night. It is quite true. The Lord is coming soon. And it's such a pity if we waste our time with the things on the earth. Let us say, Lord, I want to apprehend the heavenly things. Every day from now on, I want to seek what is above. The heavenly things are much better. So God is not ashamed to be called their God. If we live on the earth, God will be ashamed. He will say, I have prepared so much for you. Why do you want to pursue vain things? But here, God is not ashamed to be called their God. Amen. For he has prepared a city for them. Praise the Lord. And we really have to know our spirit. That's why it is spiritual. Lord, I want to know my spirit. My spirit. I write it down here. Spirit. So how else would you like to learn to discern, to differentiate between water and water? Outwardly, it's very difficult to see the difference. But through this spirit, you can see it. Let me also read another verse from 1 Corinthians 2. Soul and spirit, probably. Natural man, from verse 11. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the spirit of God. Then verse 12 now is important. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God.
Amen.
We have received the Spirit from God in order to be able to make this division, separation. If you don't know the Spirit, you cannot make this separation. You will not understand the difference. Because there is a difference between soul and spirit. Outwardly, hard to differentiate. But here it says we do not have the spirit of the world coming from the earth from here. But we have received a spirit from God. And the spirit is from the heavens, from this above realm. So if we walk by the Spirit will show what is heavenly and what is earthly. Oh, praise the Lord, that we may know what has been given to us by God. God has given us so much, and we shall say, I want to know all this. I want to experience all the spiritual blessings. I want to know my spirit better for this. It's good to say to the Lord, it's a good prayer for every morning. Lord, immediately I turn to the Spirit. I want to walk by the Spirit. I want to know the difference. Verse 14 says, a natural, a soulish man, literally, does not receive the things of the Spirit, for they are foolishness to him. And we live in the soul. The Lord calls you, it's foolishness to you. You think, oh, okay, I don't want it now. Maybe you don't say it consciously, Lord, I don't come to you. But your attitude, your behavior is a problem if you live in the earthly man, soulish man. That's why we need the separation. I told the Lord recently, Lord, I want to become a spiritual person, a spiritual man. If the Spirit lives in me, I want to know it. I want to learn to live by the Spirit. Verse 15 is good. For the spiritual man judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. Let us really make this separation. To know the Spirit, to actively turn our hearts to above.